Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Calvin Christian Reformed Church. It is good to see you all here. And if you're visiting with us, we pray a special blessing upon you that you would encounter Jesus with us this morning. Before we get started in worship, a few announcements. You'll notice in the prayer corner an update on Jess Van Otterloo's fiance, Tyler Prosoki. He's in a rehab facility in Canyon Falls, Minnesota, and seems to be fighting hard and working in therapy, and so we continue to pray for him and hope the best for him. Also, we extend our Christian sympathy to the Herringa family as Eileen mourns the loss of her mother. Keep them in your prayers as well, as the funeral is this coming Thursday, June 27th. And we also extend our Christian sympathy to Elaine Zommerman in the passing of her brother Roger. So keep Elaine and the Zommermans in your prayers as they mourn the passing of Roger. Vacation Bible School starts tonight. You were here last week. I was talking with someone, and they're like, oh, yeah, it starts next Sunday. And I thought, no, it's on Monday. I was wrong. It starts tonight. Starts tonight at 5:30. This year's theme, of course, Athens, Paul's Dangerous Journey. All I'll say, as the Apostle Paul tonight, is that if you want to see a handlebar mustache, show up. That's all I have to say. I'm going to try some fun stuff for the kids. You didn't think I just grew this just for its beauty, did you? So with a little bit more about VBS and a few other things, I'm going to ask Patrick to come forward and to share just a couple things.
To help with some of those donations. So if you're led to contribute specifically to one of those causes, you can just write that on the memo of your check, or you can designate that in a separate envelope, or just tell one of the deacons, and we can make sure the funds go where you would like them to go. If you have questions on the organ, I hear it sounds incredible. Miriam could tell you a little bit about it, but and if you have any questions for me on that too, just let me know.
Thanks, Patrick. That's all for our announcements this morning. Let's still our hearts now for a moment and prepare to enter the presence of a holy God. Would you stand for our call to worship this morning? As we come into the holy place this morning, as we come into God's holy temple, we come into the place where we say thank you to God, where we say I love you to God, but also the place where we say I'm sorry to God. And so our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inward parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Sisters and brothers, we come as the penitent people of God. We come as those who ask for forgiveness into the presence of the forgiving Father. And we come now singing our song of worship about the one who is mighty to save us from our sins. We come into God's presence, the mighty one's presence, the one who is mighty to save us. As Martin Luther used to say, we always remember that God is pro nobis, for us. He is mighty to save for us. He is not just mighty, he is for us. And so now hear the words of the God who is for you as he greets you in his temple this morning. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. God greets us in grace, and with that sound of grace in our ears, we cannot help but respond with confessing our sins. And we say together now our prayer of confession, a very simple prayer, the prayer of blind Bartimaeus. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner. We confess our sins. And the Apostle John tells us that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus is the burnt offering offered at the altar of God for us. He is high priest and offering all in one so that we might be made right with God, our sins bearing them on his back on the cross, that we might be dead to all that is evil and alive to all that is good. And all of this he does because of his love, love for us, and because of the Father's love for us in the Spirit. And so this morning, sisters and brothers, if you have confessed your sins, Jesus says to you, full of the Father's joy, with Holy Spirit words, your sins are forgiven. And having been assured of our forgiveness with the Father through Christ and the Spirit, we now overflow in the joy and love of that, and we turn and we pass the peace on, which in the ancient church was a way of forgiving one another, of continuing to love each other even when we sin against one another. So let's pass that forgiving love on this morning. Let's greet each other in Christ's name. Seated. It's time now for all of us to join ourselves together in one heart, as we are one body in Christ, and to come before our Father in heaven through Jesus in the Spirit and pray for everything that is near and dear to our hearts here as God's church on the Mars. Would you pray with me this morning? Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we have come into your sanctuary this morning, Lord, aware of our own sins, but also aware of your forgiving power and love. And so we give thanks. We give thanks that we can be your people freely, that we do not have to live in fear or bondage, but instead can rejoice in the freedom of the sons of God. And Lord, as your sons and daughters, your children, we bring before you all that is on our hearts this morning. We think of Tyler Posoki. We pray that you would be with him. We pray that his therapy would go well, that his chemo treatments would be effective. Lord, hold him fast. We pray, Lord, for the Haringa family. We think of Eileen and the loss of her mother. And we pray that you would be with her and sustain her in this time. We think also of Elaine Zimmerman and her family, all of her sisters and brother and such who were there, and the passing of Roger. Lord, give them grace in this moment as well. Uphold them. Lord, we pray also this morning for John and Mary Van Hill's daughter, Sandra. Lord, we are thankful that she continues to fight her cancer, and we pray that she would have remission. We pray that you would heal her. We are thankful for the good days you have given her, Lord, even in the midst of the hard days. Be with her. Lord, we pray for Greg Smith, and we pray also for healing for him, for remission for him. And we are so thankful, Lord, that his cancer seems to be held in check right now. And we pray that that would continue. Lord, we pray for Nomi Voss. And we pray, Lord, that she too would come through her cancer treatments with flying colors, and that she would be healed, that she would hear that word remission also. Lord, we pray for our shut-ins. Lord, we think of Glenda Hoffland, who cannot be with us. We think of Ken Van Grau, Audrey Van Grau. We think of Patty Ritzema. We think of Jan Sneller, Margaret Hopp, Denise Masbergen, and Frank Vandenbosch. Lord, be near to all of them. Give them your grace and give them your peace. Lord, we pray also this morning for our nation. We commend it to your merciful care, and then we pray that it would be guided by your providence so that we may dwell secure in your peace. Grant to our president and to all in authority wisdom and strength to know and to do your will. Fill them with the love of truth and righteousness, and make them ever mindful of their calling to serve your people in your fear. Lord, we pray for our church. We pray, Lord, you would bless our church with spiritual love and health and growth. Be with us, Lord, as we gather together each Lord's Day. We give thanks for all that you have given us. And Lord, we pray that you would be with each one of us as we struggle in our own ways. Lord, many of us are brokenhearted. Many of us are hopeful. Many of us feel guilty. Many of us feel joy. Lord, in each circumstance, give us what we need. Lord, you know your people. And we wrestle with you to be faithful to your promises to them in each and every situation. For those who are recovering from illness, surgery, Lord, we pray that you would give them the desires of their hearts, fullness of health. For those who feel guilty, we pray that you would give them a strong sense of your forgiveness. For those filled with joy, we thank you, Lord, and we pray that you would remind them that you are the source of their joy. Lord, we are your people, and we lift our hearts together as one in Jesus, and we pray his prayer, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. At this time, I would ask the deacons to come forward and take our morning offering.
I read from 1 John 1, verses 5 through 10. Light and darkness, sin and forgiveness. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all our sin. If we claim to be without sin, we declare, deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. This is the word of the Lord.
Our psalm reading this morning is Psalm 51, the psalm that we began our worship service with, and we will read it together responsively this morning. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions.
Wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me.
Against you, you only, have I sinned, and I have done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict, and justified when you judge.
Surely I was sinful at birth, and sinful from the time my mother conceived me.
Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place.
Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. This too is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. And we read it here from the center of the people of God because Jesus has centered himself in us. He's taken on human flesh. He is near to us. So hear now the words of Jesus, the story of Jesus, near to you in your very heart. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Thank you.
Well, sisters and brothers, we come to another installment in our series on the Lord's Prayer this morning. We have now worked our way through Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And now this morning, forgive us our trespasses, or forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us, or our debtors. Would you pray with me this morning that we would hear this line from the prayer, this petition of the prayer, in a new way this morning, and the Spirit would move us to pray in this way. Would you pray with me? Holy Triune God, pour out upon us your Spirit so that we might see Jesus, the one who is our beginning and end, the one who is our light and life, very God and very man, the one who is the shape of what we long to be, and the one who through the Spirit empowers us by your grace, O Father, to be what we can be. Holy Spirit, come. Open our ears and our hearts. Holy Spirit, come. Open my mouth to proclaim wondrous things from your law. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, in the power of the Spirit. Amen. So we've all heard that parable that we read this morning, probably many, many times. In fact, we've probably heard it so many times that it's kind of lost its sting a bit. Let's see if we can hear the parable again, but maybe how the original listeners heard it. Jesus tells the parable. Two men go up to the temple to pray, a Pharisee and a tax collector. They go up to the place of forgiveness. They go up to the place of atonement, God's temple, not only where people say thank you to God, not only where people say I love you to God, but especially where they say I am sorry to God, where they offer rams and bulls, the blood of animals before God. I'm sorry. So they go up to pray, to ask for forgiveness for the sins of Israel. And there stands the Pharisee off to the side. The Pharisee, in his threadbare, if clean, clothes, his worn sandals, his eyes tight together, swaying back and forth, intent in his prayer. Like many of his religious compatriots, poor, struggling to make ends meet. And now this morning, his face haggard, covered with lines of sorrow. For news has just reached him. One of his fellow Shammaite Pharisees has been executed. The Roman legionaries have taken Joseph ben Elkanah and pinned him to a pole outside the city gates. Another one of the Jewish resistance gone. Another one who hoped for the kingdom of God dead. And as the Pharisee stands and prays, he remembers praying on this very spot with Joseph for the coming kingdom. And the tears are slipping down his face freely now as he ponders what will happen to Joseph's young wife and three small children. And he begins to pray that God would forgive Israel's sin. Because this is why people like Joseph die, because Israel is unfaithful. not faithful to the covenant which God has made. And even as he prays and groans within himself, the Pharisee begins to whisper under his breath, "Oh, if Israel would just keep the covenant! If there was no more compromise with culture! If there was holiness! If we were just righteous, righteous like Joseph, willing to give one's life for the kingdom. If we were just righteous, then God would send the righteous king, the son of David, and all would be well. If we were just righteous." And as he sways back and forth, his eyes shut tight, the tears leaking down his face, the anger begins to bubble up within his soul. "Thank you, God. Thank you that I am not like those who do that, who put people like Joseph in harm's way, who compromise with the jackbooted Romans. Thank you, God, that I care about your law. Thank you, God. Thank you that I am not like the spiritual adulterers of home and country, the traitors. Like that man over there, who is the reason people like my friends hang on crosses outside the city gates." The man who betrays his own country, the man who gets fat off of our suffering. Look at his rich robes, look at his trademark sandals. He has no worries in life. "Thank you that I am not like that, willing to sell my soul for a few more pennies to work with the Romans, to push back against the kingdom of God. Thank you that I am not like that." On the other side of the room, the tax collector praying also for the forgiveness of Israel, but in a different way. He can hear the angry prayer of the Pharisee. His head is bowed under the weight of his sin. His ribs heave in anguish. He can barely lift his head to heaven. All that he says is true, O Lord. All that he says is true. I am a traitor to my people. I am all that is wrong with this country. I am to blame. I love money more than my family. Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The sinner. Be merciful to me, the sinner of sinners. And he clasps his fingers together in that moment and begins to strike his chest. Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The sinner, not just anyone, the sinner. And his face too is wet with tears, as he weeps over his own betrayal. Israel is a mess because of me. Judea is in trouble because of me. And Jesus stops the story at that moment. And Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, that this man, the traitor, went home justified, not the Pharisee. The heavenly judge looked down from heaven and said, 'This one is righteous. This one is forgiven.' For For whoever exalts themselves will be humbled, and whoever humbles themselves will be exalted. Do you feel the sting a little bit more? I think when we read the story of the parable of the two men who go up to the temple to pray, we often read it in a kind of cartoon manner. We think of the Pharisee, again, as if he's one of the rich sort of ones in power. By the way, the Pharisees were not wealthy. They were not in power. They were probably middle class at best, poor most likely. Tax collector's the rich man, the one who is benefiting from everything that's going on around him. We try to imagine the Pharisee, and we sort of imagine him in sort of, you know, stage drama whispers, his nice flowing robes. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I am not like other people. I fast twice on the Sabbath. I give a tenth of all. And thank you that I am not like sinners. Not like that man over there. And we kind of roll our eyes at him. He's a good cartoon character. And we go our way. And we don't feel the sting of the parable. We can ignore it. And so as we come into church and as we confess our sins, as we say, Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner, it's very easy for us to sort of slip into, Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner, and thank you, Lord, that I am not like that Pharisee. That Pharisee who doesn't know how to confess his sin. The Pharisee who is all that is wrong with the church. The Pharisee who holds back the kingdom of God with his pride. Thank you, Lord, that at least I know I'm a tax collector. Thank you, God. The Russian theologian Alexander Schmemann once observed in his journals that he was listening to the confession of a young man. And this young man said, we do our general confession at church. We all recite together, we confess our sins to God. That's fine for most people, but I need more. That's too easy for me. My sins are too great. And so Schmemann agreed to meet with him, and he arrives for his confession. I spent half of last night thinking about this. The man was in earnest. Hours in past evening, into the early morning, scribbling down his sins, memorizing them, cataloging them one by one for the mental Rolodex. He's really going to confess his sins. He's really going to do this. God, I am the tax collector. I am the sinner. I'm. And then you could almost hear the sigh in Schmemann's journal. And then what came out of his mouth was a lot of spiritual chatter, a lot of self-justification, and condemnation of everyone who didn't understand him. Thank you, God, that I am not like those Pharisees who do not know how to confess their sins. In some ways, it's very hard for us to pray for forgiveness. We begin to pray for it, and then we begin to shift the blame. It's very easy to do because there's plenty of blame to go around. But Jesus offers us a different way of praying. He says, when you pray, you shall say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are our debtors. Forgive me, Lord, in the same way that I forgive others. Jesus pushes us to see that our forgiveness is tied up with the forgiveness of others. that how we treat others signals whether we have been forgiven or that we know we've been forgiven. But still we struggle. Still it is so easy to become the Pharisee over here instead of over there, or vice versa, to revert back to this role, Pharisee over here and there, not there or there. It is easy for us to struggle with saying, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. As we struggle with that forgiveness, the tax collector continues to pray. He continues to pray over here. O Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. The tax collector prays for us. Who is this tax collector? The one who goes down to his house justified? The one who stands there in the holy place confessing his sin? He is the man whose neck is bowed under the weight of his sin. The man whose ribs heave in anguish, who can barely look to heaven there at the place of atonement and sacrifice. The man whose bloody cracked lips say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Who is this tax collector? The one then who stutters in pain, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The tax collector is Jesus of Nazareth, the sinner, the one pinned on the tree outside of Jerusalem. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Who is the tax collector? The one who prays for his forgiveness, but really our forgiveness, as he becomes one with us in sin, praying to the Father, forgive us our trespasses, even as he forgives us for our trespasses against him. There on the cross, beating his chest, Father, forgive me. For our sin has become his sin. And never does he justify, never does he shift. Ah, thank you that I'm not like those jeering Pharisees around me. Thank you that I have been a holy man. Thank you, God, that I am not like them. But instead, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The tax collector prays for us. And he invites us into his prayer there on the cross. He invites us to take up our cross and to pray with him. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And as we mouth those words, the Spirit hammers us up there on the wooden beams with him. And we can feel the slivers in our own back. And as we pray for our own forgiveness and also for the forgiveness of those around us, we see all of those around us, those who jeer at us, our own Pharisaic pride, our own self-justification, our own righteousness. We see those who refuse to pray for us. We see those who have sinned against us. We see the sister who ran off with all of Mom's jewelry after the funeral. We see the son who never calls home. We see the father whose sour person still sends those angry barbs that leave us in tears. We see the posturing politicians who ruin our country. And we say, in Christ, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But let us beware in that moment, because there is the temptation to say, no, I cannot forgive. Their sin is too great. I will not take up that cross. I will not join him in forgiving, because their sin against me is the darkness that eats away at me bit by bit. And perhaps it is. Perhaps their sin against you is reprehensible, not easily forgiven. And the Father knows that. But forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not saying it's okay. Forgiveness is acknowledging it and choosing love. Choosing to let the Father deal with it. And so we say in that moment, forgive us our trespasses, even the trespass of not being able to forgive as we should. And in that moment, once again, we hear Christ speaking on our behalf. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The tax collector prays for us. He invites us into his prayer. And so we pray through Christ. We pray to be forgiven, and we pray to be the forgiving people, to become one with him, to be crucified people who are willing to love our enemies. What will we pray today? Will we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us? That's the Jesus prayer. And it is the prayer that the Spirit even now is pulling from your lips. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. In response to God's word this morning, I would invite you to stand, and we will confess our faith in the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 51, question and answer 126. We'll say this responsively. What does the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer mean? Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, means, because of Christ's blood, do not hold against us, poor sinners that we are, any of the sins we do or the evil that constantly clings to us. Forgive us just as we are fully determined, as evidence of your grace in us, to forgive our neighbors. In response to God's word and to our confession of faith, we sing this morning, for freedom Christ has set us free. Sisters and brothers, as you now go out in mission and in ministry to love and to serve God, go out as the forgiven people of God, the forgiven people of God who forgive. For those whom much has been forgiven to will forgive much. Go out now in love for your neighbor, rejoicing in the tax collector who prays for you even when you struggle to forgive. Go out in the love of Christ and receive now God's parting blessing. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. And all of God's children said together, Amen.